Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby. Gary Curry, McSorley.
Welcome, 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 everybody. Welcome back to the Razzball Fantasy Hockey Podcast. This is Reed. Once again, we are joined by Viz. Viz, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. I enjoyed my time in California. Got to meet the man behind Razzball, Gray, which was a good time. He's every bit as funny as he is on the baseball podcast. Staples Center was nice. That game was a dud. The Ducks game, their arena's not bad. I mean, they're both, over 20 years old now, so I don't want to say they're outdated, but, there's not many old arenas in the league. Once the Joe gets replaced this summer, those are among the oldest in the league. It's kind of crazy, but yeah, had a good time in L.A. I think Brad May went through a bender on Thursday night, because when we got to the hotel Friday, man, he was looking rough in the lobby.
that'll happen.
He was walking around with his like dress, pants and shoes on, but he was just wearing a white T-shirt. Like, he was at the front desk right in front of us. And he like dropped the pen to sign whatever he was doing, and just like kind of left it there for like 5-10 seconds. So my brother just picked it up for him, and he's like, "Yeah, thanks." And just like stumble up the.
I mean, what else are you going to do with a pen though?
Yeah.
If you're going to drop it, you got to drop it with style.
Yeah, I guess.
So props to Mayday for that one. I guess let's get right into the injuries. The injury report brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the hockey games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being ringside for the biggest plays of the year. With SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get guaranteed seats you want for a great value. There's a promo code to get $20 for a rebate off on your tickets. On your first purchase from SeatGeek, and we'll run that down at the end of the podcast, but the injury report is brought to you by SeatGeek, and yes, we are sponsoring these segments. So let's get to the injury report. Malkin for Pittsburgh, out day-to-day. He's out tonight against the Sabres. He has the second highest points per game in the league. I didn't realize how amazing he's been. He has 51 points in his last 40 games. He's just been a monster for you. We talked about it going into this season where you would expect to miss a couple games with injuries, but the time that you were going to get with him would have been very valuable. Right. It was a matter of, are you missing 45, 50 games, or are you missing 10
games?
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, it's the same
thing. And it's looking like the lower side.
It's the same thing we're dealing with, like, Letang now. He's going to end up missing over 20 probably, so... That's to the point where it hurts you, but for Malkin, yeah, you've got to be thrilled. Even if he didn't play another game this year, he's going to probably end up a top 10 forward. I mean, it's kind of weird, but the only guy who really gets a boost out of this, bizarrely, is Mark Streit, because he's playing the point on the first power play unit with Schultz, with Malkin out. So if he was available, I would grab him. I think he probably should be owned regardless right now. They didn't replace him with the forward. It's still Crosby, Kessel, Hornquist up front. So, it's weird to say a defenseman gets a boost when a forward's out, but I think that's the case here.
Yeah, I think there's an interesting case. I would argue that Nick Bonino becomes a very strong streamer.
Yeah, he's been playing pretty well lately.
He's been playing much better lately. And, his ice time goes up when Malkin goes out.
Right.
I don't mind
Matt Cullen either, because he's playing with Hornquist and Kessel. That's the same kind of deal. And Bonino's getting more minutes. Bonino's on the second power play unit when Cullen's not. So I guess it kind of depends what stats you're looking for. But yeah, it's not a bad spot for Cullen either, playing with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, their last game when they shut out the Cat Hockey 4-0, Bonino sees 19 minutes and 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. He's got 3 minutes of power play time. I mean, for a strong streamer, yeah, that's excellent for a forward.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for.
Like, yeah, he didn't have a shot on. He had one hit and two blocks, but you know what? He's had a pretty good run so far in the last 10 games or so. He's been pretty solid.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all. Especially, you know, tonight to save, you know, it's a good spot for them. The Sabres are on a back to back. It's their first game home in, you know, over a week. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Penguins, you know, run them out of the building.
Yeah, I would almost sort of expect something along those lines.
Yeah.
Next up, Matthew Tkachuk, not so much an injury report, but he is suspended for 2 games for a, I'm trying to think of the right word to describe it, an aggressive elbow.
Yeah.
I believe, I'm trying to think of who it was to.
Oh, I don't remember either.
I don't remember who the elbow was against, but it was aggressive. Oh, Drew Doughty. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was an aggressive elbow. He was suspended 2 games, first time offender. There was, I think they found that there was intent. Otherwise, I don't think he gets suspended for any games if it's his first time. We talked about it before we hit record. This will not be the last. Vegas won't take the bet on whether this is he'll get suspended again or not, because I think we all know he will.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way he plays out his career and doesn't have another suspension for another hit or incident like that. But we talked about how penalty minutes and how Tkachuk has been excellent and how he's poor man Wayne Simmons in just his rookie year when he had no expectations to begin with.
Right.
And how you're going to be all on the Matthew Tkachuk train next year.
For sure.
I mean, this just says he's going to get 100 penalty minutes. Maybe not this year, but I think next year he'll hit it for sure.
I mean, he's got 96 this year. Granted, he only has like 20 in the second half of the season. He was already at in like the 70s or 80s at the halfway point, and he hasn't really had the big confrontation. I think, you know, especially when a guy's younger, it usually happens while, you know, due to frustration when the team is losing, and the Flames have been so hot that it hasn't really happened. But yeah, I mean,
so maybe there's something to that. When he doesn't take penalties, they win.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it sounds kind of weird, but I think that's part of it. At least like the big 15-minute stuff, I think, is mostly, you know, he gets pissed off that they're down 4-0 and loses his mind. I'd have to look closer at it. But yeah, I mean, he's hit every category. He's got 46 points in 68 games. And, you know, when you're at 2 shots a game, he's got 12 power play points. He's plus 14.
He's just what, 18, 19? He's a rookie.
Yeah.
Just drafted. Like, yeah, you can't ask for much more.
No, yeah. He's probably going to be in my top 100 next year. I think we could see, if it's even 60 points, and even if it's distributed like 20 plus 40, just getting those 100 penalty minutes, and he's a power play contributor, and that's probably going to even improve. I wouldn't really want to stream anyone from the Flames in a spot. They don't have a back-to-back the entire rest of the way. They play every other day the entire rest of the season. So I'm looking for most of my streamers to pick the guy up to get a back-to-back, or, you know, 3 games with 4 nights ideally, or even next week on a guy we're going to talk about later when Detroit has a back-to-back-to-back. So I don't even know necessarily who's going to slide in his spot with Backlund in for a week. Either way, it's not going to be anyone special. I don't think so. I don't see anyone getting a real boost for this, you know, these 2 games for Calgary.
Yeah, I like what Calgary has, and I think next year they're going to be – it's going to be a two-horse race, I think, especially for Western Canada. I think Vancouver's just going to fall right off. It's going to be Calgary and Edmonton are going to be pushing each other hard for the next 10 years, I think. I love Johnny Hockey. I've said it a gazillion times. I love Sean Monahan. I still think Sam Bennett has the talent and the tools.
Yeah.
I think that draft is sort of struggling a little bit, and we're going to talk about the one guy in that top four that's actually playing very well right now later on. But I think Ekblad took a step back this year. I think Reinhardt didn't Excel the way that we wanted to, and I think Sam Bennett hasn't excelled the way that we were expecting for a top four.
Bennett's
pick.
Not even close. I mean, Reinhardt's been great. I don't want to say great. I mean, he has more points than last year already, and he's played, you know, eight less games. But it's a lot of power play points, which isn't necessarily a good thing. I'd like to see him do more at even strength, but I don't know. Part of me likes him more at center, and I wouldn't be surprised next year if, like, him and O'Reilly flip. You know, like, O'Reilly plays on Reinhardt's wing. That's just a gut call. Reinhardt's, you know, it's kind of what you expect from a 21-year-old. You know, a lot of guys this year we've been crazy. It's crazy with Laine, Matthews, Pasternak, you know. Most 20-year-olds go through this path that Reinhardt's going in where, you know, he had 42 points last year. He's going to get probably to about 50 this year. And then you hope next year he can get to 60 and keep building. I mean, the shot rate went up. There are some encouraging signs. It's not like Bennett who just, like, fell off and because the team's doing so well. He's buried on the fourth line right now.
Yeah. Okay, let's get back to some actual injuries. Jason Spezza missed last night's game with back spasms. Last night's game probably broke a lot of daily fantasy lineups.
Yeah.
When you have the Sharks against the Stars, and the Stars have pretty much just packed it in for the season, you would have expected the Sharks to put on an ass-whooping. That game was 1-0, and Dallas won. So anybody who had a large San Jose stack pretty much just got fucked over big time.
Yeah, they just lit their money on fire.
Yeah, I mean, that's just taking a $5 bill, crumpling it up, and throwing it in the toilet, because that's essentially what just happened. I'm dropping Spezza if I'm a Spezza owner. Back spasms are not something that, oh, well, he feels better the day after, so he's good to go the rest of the way. They're one of those nagging things and recurring. And they're completely out of it. They are hilariously bad right now. I'm not taking the chance on it. I'm not wasting a roster spot on it, especially for forwards when there's so much depth on the waiver wire that you can go and pick up. I'm looking to drop Spezza if I own him right now.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I probably would do the same thing. As far as replacements go, I don't really see anybody. I mean, Cody Eakins went on the first power play unit. He's still playing with Ben, but he's been horrible all season. Hemsky's back now, but I don't know. He's never done too much for me from a fantasy perspective, and I don't know. I basically just want to avoid this team outside of, like, Ben Sagan, Klingberg, and maybe Sharp even. You know, that's really about it right now.
Another injury in Tampa. Tyler Johnson still hasn't skated. I said that I would consider dropping him on a combination of he's injured, he hasn't skated yet, and he hasn't actually been that good this year.
No, I mean, we kind of, like, dropping him, like, when he first got hurt. You can't hold on to him. And, you know, Braden Point's done very well with Kucherov, so keep streaming him. Even if you want to hold him.
I think Braden Point's a hold. I'll say it. I think he's a hold at this point.
I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, especially, you know, this week they don't have a busy schedule, but they have 8 games in the finals of RCLs, you know, 4 games next week and 4 games the final week with a lot of back-to-back. So, and they play on, like, a couple days where it's, like, the only game where there's only 2 games. So it's even, you know, a bigger deal to have players on those teams. So, yeah, I actually, now I look at it more, would be with you, and I would hold Point too.
Yeah. Another injury in the same division, Mark Stone up in Ottawa. Still hasn't skated. He's more of an interesting case because I think Ottawa's been playing very well lately. I know they lost to Montreal yesterday or 2 days ago. I think if I have a spot, I think I would keep him. But if there's a tempting, if there is, say, somehow Braden Point on the waiver wire, I think I would drop Mark Stone.
Yeah, I think you could put him on IR now at least if you have the spots. But yeah, I think there probably is going to be a good option on the waiver wire at this point just because, you know, teams are out of the playoffs and not making moves as much at this point. But Yeah, I mean, I feel you can go either way on Stone, but I think they're probably end up playing it a bit safer. You know, losing those two games to Montreal in the past week puts them – I mean, they're still in the division title race, but they look pretty secure into, like, the 2-3 spot now. So I think they'll play it safer with Stone. I would lean towards dropping if you didn't have an IR spot, but – I wouldn't pick up someone just to cut him, basically. I would want the guy, you know, to be pretty useful for me, mostly because, you know, Ottawa, they closed the season when they also have an 8-game playoff schedule, but they also have 5 games the final week, which is huge. So if you did make the finals, Stone could make a huge difference. So that's part of the reason why I would be leery of cutting him. But again, if you're in a big, you know, tight battle this week, you kind of have to do it.
Yeah. And then sticking in Canada, Trouba over in Winnipeg, out this week, I think you have to drop him.
Yeah, again, I think he probably went on the IR. It depends on, you know, the spots, but you can't hold guys right now that are out for, you know, a full week. It's just going to bury your team. You can't afford to just lose that volume. At this point now, really, it's all about how your studs do and just getting a ton of starts for the most part. So,
if you're in your championship and you don't utilize on ESPN, I think it's you get 7 weekly transactions.
Yeah.
If you don't utilize all 7 transactions, you don't deserve to win your championship. You should be whining it, not whining and dining, but wheeling and dealing with your streaming slots, with your flex spots. You should be doing everything possible to get as many possible players in games playing.
Right. Yeah.
Through your matchup, because every category counts. Every stat count, like every plus minus counts.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're in a deeper league, every block shot counts. I mean, we can talk about it in the next segment about how ridiculous the Kings Oilers game was last night, where the Oilers had 35 block shots. If you're in a really deep league that has weird categories like that, having Chris Russell on your team all of a sudden, like, that's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
If you're picking up players like that, Sakara should be, I think yeah. he should be owned. But I mean, if you're picking up like Adam Larson,
Larson's the bigger one to me, just because he gets a ton of hits too. You know, he should probably be owned in even like a 10-man league where that includes hits and blocks, just because of the volume in those two categories. It's not going to be really good anywhere else except probably plus minus, but anything you can do right now to make a push, you got to do it. You know, what's Dan Fouts keep saying in the Water Boy, you know? No looking back now. He's, you know,
oh my god!
And Musburger just keeps cut. We know. We gotta keep, but you know that's our thing. We gotta keep telling you that it's really all it comes down to. I mean, it's great. You know, if you own Crosby, he hit you with, you know, 2 3-point games in a row last week, which again you need your studs to push you forward. But otherwise, it really is just getting the volume. If you have weekly set lineups, play the guy who gets more games, unless it's, you know, again, Crosby compared to, you know, pick a guy in Carolina who's got a heavy schedule. Then you obviously play a guy like Crosby. But for the most part, that needs to be the decisive factor for you.
Yeah. Okay, real quick, because you brought up Waterboy. Better iconic broadcaster – in a Happy Gilmore movie, Brett Musburger in Waterboy or Vern Lundquist in?
I mean, in Happy Gilmore.
In Happy Gilmore, yeah.
I
yes.
mean, I have a soft spot in my heart for Brett Musburger because he is like the biggest degenerate ever. Like, he worked away in every broadcast to mention the betting line, the over unders. You could tell sometimes on his tone who he bet on. Like, Todd Furman used to always tweet out, like, we could tell who who Musburger bet on. And now that he's, like, retiring, he's going to host a, like, gambling show in Vegas, which is just amazing. I mean, Byrne, I always liked, you know, his chuckle was kind of hilarious because it was so absurd. And the only reason I would take or downgrade him a bit, and it's not even as much him as just who he's with, but I cannot stand Gary Danielson. And listening to him during the SEC games used to just make me lose my mind. But in the movie itself, I would say Vern is better, but in real life, I just love Brent because he's such a degenerate.
Okay, completely fair reason. Okay, now we have our who's hot segment, or hot and normally it's hot and cold, but honestly, everyone on
Yeah,
this list is just hot on
we did
fire.
the cold podcast last time. We're gonna stick to the heat this time.
Yeah,
We're gonna.
we'll bring the heat with this. Thomas Tatar up in Detroit has 6 points in his last three games, and he's got nine in his last six. We have the question: are you grabbing him? This should be a rhetorical question. Yes. He's hot. You're in the playoffs. You need players that are hot during the time that you're in the playoffs.
Right.
So it seems like a match made in heaven. This should not be that difficult of a question.
No, again, they play four games this week and they open up next week with or they start Sunday and then have the back to back to back. So if you get through this week, you're gonna have, a great advantage having Tatar. Even like Anthony Seau, I think, is close to a hold right now. And maybe if because of Mantha getting scratched before he got caught in, like just again getting the volume from Detroit guys, but Tatar should be your first choice among them.
Yes, absolutely. Another hot player is Lindholm down in Carolina.
Yeah.
And this is one that definitely has gone under the radar because when I looked at it, I was like, wait, no. And then I actually had to check the game long, and it's true. Lindholm is a 7-game point streak for the Hurricanes. Are you picking him up, and where do you see him next year?
I would grab him now. If I needed assists, I don't think it's close. If you don't, I could see holding off on it. But again, they have the godfather of schedules at the end of the season. They have 9 games the last 2 weeks. I think at that point, you're owning him for sure. For this week, let's see their schedule quick. Bring this up. I know they only have 3 games, but let's see. They have Florida tonight and then Montreal and the Devils. I would probably hold off, grab someone else who has more games this week. I would grab Tatar first right now, but again, they open up next week, Monday, Tuesday, with that Detroit back to back, then Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and then they have 4 games again the final week. So yeah, I think you have to grab them at least if you make the finals. As for next season, I'm a big fan. I think we see a stat line very similar to what Alexander Wennberg's done. It's going to be really assist heavy. He's not going to bury you in shots as bad. Lindholm's actually over 2 shots a game, but it's only come with 9 goals. He's never been like a high shooting percentage guy. I think we could still see him get to about like 15 goals, but I think we could also see him get to 45 assists next year. Like that really wouldn't surprise me. He's never had more than 24 penalty minutes in a season. He's never been a plus player. He's minus four this year. That's fine. Power play points are okay. He has 3 shorthanded or 4 shorthanded points this year, which is actually helping his special teams points. But I don't know. He's come on a lot, and there's a lot to like here. The Carolina's going to keep getting better. His minutes have been going up quite a bit. I would definitely take a flyer on him at the end of next year if you need assist in drafts. I expect to be higher on him than most. It's not going to
I
be anything
agree.
spectacular, but again, like for me, I'm going to draft a lot of goals and shots in the beginning, and hopefully it comes with assists along the way. But if it doesn't, I'm going to want guys like Lindholm, to fill out the bottom of my roster. It's a sneaky improvement again. 39 points in 60 games, he would be at about 50, 54, 55 points if he put at an 82 game pace right now. Yeah, there's just a lot to like. And again, Carolina's in good shape going forward with all the young forwards. They're going to get better because all those guys are just going to get better. And like I said, if they get a goaltender, they're a serious playoff contender next year.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at what else they have up front. Like that, yes, they still have the Neanderthal Jordan Staal, in the center. But they also have Victor Rask. They have Jeff Skinner, who's, again, excellent. They have Teravainen and Aho. And I think Aho is going to be special in this league. I think he's going to be really, really, really good. And we're just getting a taste of it this year. I mean, I remember we were talking about the World Cup of Hockey. For Finland, he was excellent. He was one of their best forwards with Laine.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think he was on a line with Laine and Barkov, if I'm remembering the line correctly.
I think
correctly.
That's right. I mean, he's got they were 20 goals and 21 assists right now. And as a rookie, I mean, his shot rate is over 2.5 a game, which is great. I mean, there's plenty to like there.
And at the beginning of the season, he wasn't shooting the puck. That was the crazy part, is that he was really low on shots. When I was hyping him up, I was all on the Sebastian Aho hype train at the beginning of the season, and he wasn't shooting the puck, and he wasn't getting the goals, and it had me worried. And then I don't know whether the coach got to him, whether someone just said, dude, just shoot the fucking puck. But he took that advice, and all of a sudden, well, bam, he's got 20 goals in his first year. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to be really good. It's just a matter of, does he pair it next year, and then who's on his line?
Right, yeah.
I mean, really, you still have all these other forwards.
It really is if next year the breakout for him, or is it in 2 years for Aho? I would lean towards, 2 years being the full breakout, but, I mean, even if he gets, 25 goals and 30 assists next year, it's going to be worth owning, because my guess is his shot rate is going to get up to 3 a game. Like, his stat line could look very similar to what Victor Arvidsson's done this year. That's the kind of thing I'd be looking at. You know, Arvidsson's got 27 goals, 26 assists right now in 3 shots a game. I mean, I don't think that's impossible for Aho. Might be slightly behind that, but, you know, Arvidsson has a 5-game point streak in his own right. If we looked at this a week ago, I would basically be pegging Aho for almost this exact stat line. It just takes a bit of shot luck too. I mean, Aho is not shooting a high percentage. It's kind of like in baseball, when you look at guys with batting average, you know, one year their BABIP's going to be high, they're going to get lucky, and they're going to, you know, hit 30 points above their normal average. Well, you know, your guy gets a high shooting percentage. Aho's at 11. I think you should at least sustain that. You know, there is upside for slightly more. So, yeah, I mean, I'll have Aho ranked above Lindholm for that reason. Again, you can always find assists, but I do like Lindholm quite a bit.
Yeah, and I guess it's important to point out both of them are on the first power play unit.
Yeah, I mean, another bonus right there.
Exactly. Two other guys that are right now heating up, and I think we can – I don't want to say it's easy to understand why, but Patrick Maroon and Leon Draisaitl in Edmonton are both heating up. Draisaitl has a low key, I believe it's 65 points on the season.
Yep.
And this might come as a surprise to nobody. They're both playing on a line with Connor McDavid.
Right.
So, again, when you want to know why they're heating up, it's not one of the – we don't have to go very far in searching for this. They're both playing with Connor McJesus. We talked about it before we hit record. Edmonton is – I don't know if it's for the best, but they're starting to look like a one-line team in terms of scoring.
I don't think it is.
It should be concerning.
Yeah, I agree. They're using RNH as a defensive forward, and, I mean, he's done fine with it, but –
That's not what he's supposed to be. He's a former number one overall
pick. It's
not
an ideal situation. If they match up with Calgary, I think it'll be kind of a rough match. I don't know. We talked about that before, that we both kind of like Calgary in the first round. I mean, Maroon, I would grab him at least for the rest of this week. He's hot. He's been in 2 fights in the last week, so he's tripping in the penalty minutes. He does scare me a bit for next year. He's got 25 goals, but it's only with 12 assists. Obviously, the penalty minutes are great. Shots are fine. But it's the kind of thing where if he doesn't play with McDavid and those goals drop to, I don't know, say 18 to 20, is he really worth owning for those penalty minutes? I'd rather just get the penalty minutes elsewhere if the guy's only going to get me, 30, 35 points. And there's no guarantee Maroon shouldn't be on the first line. He's not that type of player. He's filling in very well. I give him credit for it, but he's a guy who should be probably on a third line, but could fill in on the second line.
Yeah, I think it's one of those they wanted to put – they signed Milan Lucic in the offseason. They wanted to put him with McDavid, and then they realized that Lucic couldn't actually keep up with McDavid. So there was a problem there. And, of course, I feel like there is some podcast, some hockey podcast out there in the fantasy sports universe that actually said that there – that foresaw a problem with Lucic not actually being able to keep up with McDavid. I'm trying to think of – oh, wait, that's right. We did. We talked about how that – how I at least I did, yeah, I know for certain, I believe you did as well, that it seemed like they weren't fully thinking it through.
Yeah, I mean, I was,
and I understand why they did the signing. I understand it completely. He's a quasi-native kid. I think he's from Vancouver or somewhere around there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And they wanted to get
he's from Vancouver because they made the big deal when the Bruins played them in the Cup.
Okay, right. They wanted to get a big, strong forward to go with McDavid. The problem is that the big, strong forward who can't skate to the same speed, or, I mean, it's not like there's a lot of people that can do that. Yeah. But I think when we talk about Leon Draisaitl, I think he can relatively keep up with McDavid.
For sure.
In terms of speed of the game. Lucic is playing at, like, 0.75 speed.
Yeah. I mean, Lucic, so I just looked. I had him the lowest on Fantasy Pros, but 20 spots. Most people had him about 40 spots higher than me. I mean, the funny thing is, in a way, he's been better than I expected because he's over two shots a game. That's most of the reason I was down on him. He's at 1.5 a game last year for the Kings. He's got 42 points, so he's not even far off the 50-point pace. The difference is he only has 41 penalty minutes, which is kind of bizarre to me. The power play points are there, too. He has 21 power play points. That's more than he had previous 2 years combined, so in some ways, Lucic, from a fantasy perspective, has exceeded my expectations. It's just that the penalty minutes aren't there. I mean, I'm not going to be a fan next year either. And I don't know. It's just he's worth a later pick, assuming the penalty minutes are probably going to bounce back, but it's nothing great. Back to Maroon quick. It's very similar to Boone Jenner last year, who had 30 goals and 75 penalty minutes. And the problem with a guy like that is, you get to this year and Jenner, he's only got 16 goals. So now it's borderline useless, Jenner is a guy I actually wouldn't mind taking a flyer on at the end of next season on the hope of a bounce back. But Maroon, to me, is only like a late-round flyer in drafts next year. Draisaitl, it's really similar to Goudreau. As crazy as it is, it's slightly behind in shots, but it's that type of thing, He's looking at close to like a 30 plus 45 season. I don't think he's going to quite get there in the goals, but it's not far off. 25 power play points. His ceiling's capped because he's, 18 penalty minutes. And he had 20 last year. That's about what he's going to be. And, just over two shots a game. It is an improvement from last year, but it's not great. It'll probably be right around the top 50 overall mark. I'm not sure if he'll quite get in there. I generally like to look at guys who hit all the categories that early, so I'll probably be lower on him than most, but you have to give him credit for it. It's like him or Panarin, I think, is like a really close thing. Again, these are the same type of guys, Barkov, where they're not far off a point per game. They just don't get you the elite shot rate or the penalty minutes. And overall, you have to love what Draisaitl's doing, especially if you have him this year. I mean, he's had a 2 assists in 4 straight games. He's killing me in all my playoff leagues. I happen to be going against him. Not a happy camper.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like a you problem there. I'm sure a lot of our listeners might actually have Leon Draisaitl and are reaping the benefits.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, would you have him? Is that the type of range you're thinking for next year? Like 50th? Maybe higher? I don't know.
Here's the thing. I could see myself doing something where we talked about, again, it was I feel like we do a lot of talking before we hit the record button, but we talked about next year and starting off, and I think the top 4 is broken down into 2 categories. I think it's Crosby, McDavid, and then whichever one you prefer.
Yeah.
And then 3 and 4 is Ovechkin, Malkin, and whichever one you prefer. And it's not just the 2 Canadians first, then 2 Russians. It just so happens, that's where I think the draft will end up going.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I could see some people taking Kane ahead in that same tier as Malkin and Ovechkin. I wouldn't
disagree with it. Yeah. I or I wouldn't be upset about
it. No, me either.
But personally, I think Ovechkin, Malkin is in a better is the 3-4, right. Whichever one you prefer. That being said, I could see myself in the third round if I have McDavid. I could see myself picking up Draisaitl.
So that would be you pick like 25 or 26. That's a tough day. It feels like that's almost a little too high. But
I think when it comes to if they play really well the rest of the season, I don't see how they move Draisaitl off of McDavid.
I don't think that's happening either. I mean,
So when I look at the way the forward group is right now in Edmonton, and I can't believe we're going to actually say this. I don't think they're deep enough, which is crazy considering how many first overall picks they've had, and all of them were fucking forwards. They're not deep enough up front, and I don't think on the wing they're strong enough to have Draisaitl play second line center and then give McDavid the appropriate compliments on his wing. So when Draisaitl stays up there, I think he's going to greatly benefit. It's similar to Panarin benefiting from playing with Kane, where if he's on a separate line, I'm not sure he does what he does. But because he's playing with somebody who he has great chemistry with, and it's pretty clear that Draisaitl and McDavid have some pretty good chemistry out there, I don't see how they get separated. And because of that, I think Draisaitl's value gets exponentially stronger. And that's why I'd be willing to take the 26th, 27th pick and use it on a Draisaitl to ensure that I get him. And we talk about double dipping. It's a lot of the, I think it was 2 years ago, a lot of the favorite one that everyone wanted to do was take Seguin in the first round and Jamie Benn in the second to try and just like double dip on points because they were going to play together. Now they're not playing together, so it's not nearly as effective. But with Draisaitl and McDavid, I don't see any way they don't play together. And I think McDavid will be, he's going to be challenging for the points lead. I think he'll actually, I might have been a year early on the 120 points. I think McDavid could actually hit that if he's playing with Draisaitl the whole year, because I think they're both that good.
I mean, I don't.
So I'd be willing to take the third round flyer on Draisaitl. Do I think if you don't have McDavid, I would wait until the fifth round. But if I own McDavid, I want to ensure that I get that double dipping. And I know that other people are going to be really high on Draisaitl too.
I feel like I'm going to be priced out on him because I feel like a lot of people are going to have him like top 30 overall. I probably won't. It's not a pick that I'll hate if you took him in that spot, but I assume I'm going to have other guys ahead of him.
It'll be like on ESPN where Johnny Gaudreau is being taken in the second round. And you didn't like that one bit. And at the beginning of the year, you were being proven right.
I mean,
even still. But if they didn't start off so poorly at the beginning of the year, I think Johnny Gaudreau would have had the stat line to almost back up where he was being picked. Because he's been so hot.
Yeah, maybe.
Since they got out of that horrid start of the season.
I mean, the problem with those guys taking him in the second round is like, they have to be at a point per game, or it's just not worth it because you're getting no penalty minutes and, you know, okay but not elite shot rate. Like, Gaudreau this year, you know, at 52 points in 62 games, even if he finished out the rest of the year at a point per game and gets to, you know, 60-something because he missed some time, it's just not enough. Like, those guys, it's the problem I have with guys like him and Panarin and taking them that early, like, Panarin's actually going to come close to paying off second-round value because he's just been on an absurd heater with Kane lately. But, again, you know, it's 21 penalty minutes and not even 2.5 shots a game. Like, it's okay, but you have to make that up elsewhere. The plus-minus is the other thing that seems like Panarin's getting that big boost on. So there always will be exceptions. I could definitely see Draisaitl having a point-per-game season next year, and that's why I wouldn't hate it. It's just probably direction I'm not going to go. Again, it's so far out, it's hard to say, but, I mean, there just seems like there's so many guys that, you know, the top 20 is going to be absolutely loaded. So figuring out from there is going to be quite a task and painstaking at that because, man, it is a pain to go through and rank all these guys. But How about another guy? Well, I'm going to jump around one here that, I mean, he might have to be a second round pick next year again. Nicholas Backstrom. I quite frankly did not expect this to happen. The shot rate has just been steadily declining year in and year out. It was looking like he was going to start to be more of a guy who scored, say, 15 goals and, you know, probably still gets the 55 assists. So there's plenty of value there. But the shot rate was, you know, at 1.5 a game last year. Got it back up to 2 a game. Kept, you know, the high 15% shooting percentage, which is the second highest of his career behind last year. 54 assists already. Pally minutes are great. Everything is there. He probably is like a later second round pick next year again. I don't know what you're thinking, but I mean, how do you turn down a guy who's going to get you 70 plus points like as his floor, which is sounds kind of crazy, with, you know, a quality plus minus almost certainly and great power play points? It's hard to pass up a guy like that early, especially if you end up with, you know, again, the double dip that, again, I don't like to force it. If it makes sense, it makes sense. But if you ended up with Ovechkin and you get a guy who's low on assists, but is going to, you know, in general, I know he's had a rough stretch lately, but going to crush shots and goals, oh, Backstrom's the perfect complement to him.
Yes, I completely agree. I love Nicky Backstrom. Every year we keep underrating him.
And, yeah.
I mean, Ed, like, every year he keeps showing us wrong. So, like, he had, what, a 4-assist game the other day?
Yeah, he's had 8.
Like, him and Oshie each had 4 points. Like, that's stupid. Those are stupid numbers right. to have.
Yeah, I mean, I had him in my top 50 still, but I was the lowest on him. Most people had him still in, like, the mid-20s to mid-30s. I was just worried about the shot rate, you know, kind of like Thornton. I didn't expect it to be as one-sided as Thornton, but it was concerning. You know, he dropped from, you know, 2013-14, 196 shots down to 153, down to 129. You know, the one really good thing is he's generally stayed very healthy throughout his career. I mean, he missed 7 games last year, and he missed a bunch of time, like in 2012. But every other year in his career, a 10-year career now, he's played every game, so that dependability is also a big factor early. So, yeah, I think it'll probably be like back end of the second round, but I think he'll probably have to be there.
Yeah, I completely agree. Two other guys, and we talked about how Maroon and Draisaitl have been hot lately because they were playing with Conor McJesus. The other part of that 1-2 next year in the draft is Sidney Crosby, and the two guys that are playing with him are also pretty hot right now, and that's Jake Guentzel and Connor Sheary. It should come as no surprise, again, playing with Sid the Kid. Normally, you do pretty well playing on his
right.
on his wings. Are they both holds for you right now?
Oh, yeah. We
okay.
talked about
I just wanted to make sure. Just wanted to
Yeah, like a week or two ago, we talked about it. I mean, Sheary, I don't even think is close. Guentzel has just been on fire since we said pick him up, and I streamed him, and I haven't caught him. He's just been too good to cut. Ranking him for next year is really going to be a guessing game. I mean, I assume at least Sheary's going to stick with Crosby. I mean, Sheary's pushing like a top 50 player this year on a per-game basis. I'm not going to have him that high because there is some uncertainty there about whether he sticks on that line, but he'll have to be up there, and Guentzel will probably be more of the late-round flyer type. I could maybe see, you know, 5 to 6 rounds before the end taking them just to make sure you get them kind of thing. But that it depends on how things are looking then, you know, how they fill out the rest of the roster. Is there a clear spot for him to play with Crosby or Malkin or not? And that's really what it's going to come down to.
Yes. When you hit the nail on the head, there's not really much much else to say, but we're going to go to a blue liner now who's actually been really well, playing very well lately, and that's Ryan Ellis.
Yes.
For the Preds. I've been rolling him a lot in DFS, and I've been having some good success with it. He had 2 goals last night. Where do you see him the rest of the season? And, excuse me, where do you see him next year?
I mean, the minutes are there right now. It's probably the same as next year. He's probably like a 3, probably like a bottom end number 3, but it's very safe. So I think his floor and ceiling really aren't much different. You're looking at probably 15-ish goals in a normal year. He probably tops that this year. I'm just not sure if he will again. You know, he's shooting 12%, which for a defenseman is really high. But probably ends up getting those assists up into like the 25 to 30 range. He's been a plus player 4 straight years now. It's okay penalty minutes, decent shots, but he's getting top power play time this year. It's more of a safe thing than anything. The goal boost is nice from the blue line. You know, it's kind of poor man's Justin Falk, but on the other hand, instead of the great shots Falk gives you, you're just getting a good plus minus from Ellis, where Falk buries you every year. It's not a bad thing to have, especially if you end up thinking you're short on goals, because you know, even in a normal year, Ellis has been getting, you know, 10-ish goals. He had 9 2 years ago in only 58 games. You know, I like him a decent amount. It's under the radar because Yossi and Subban get the attention, and rightfully so. But I don't know. I think there's a decent amount to like here with Ellis. The team's getting better. You know, he's 26 now, so he's starting to settle in. This is his 4th full season. I'm going to like him a decent amount. Again, it's not going to be flashy. I don't really see any scenario where he, like, ends up being, like, a top 15 defenseman. But I don't really see a scenario where he's going to hurt you too much either.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit under the radar, because the big trade in the offseason, obviously, it was Weber for Subban. And everyone expected Subban to be, like, the 1B to Yossi's 1A. Mm-hmm. But the person who's actually – they're letting Subban just solidify the second pairing. Right. They have Ryan Ellis playing with Yossi, and he's playing a ton of minutes.
For sure.
So you got to love the volume that you're getting. And, I like him as a solid number 3, and I think the better Nashville gets, and I do think they'll get better, he could creep into a lower number 2 if his minutes don't drop.
It really
it's
depends.
All about his
yeah. I mean, that is a lot
and
of
and the power play time,
right? Like he's played a lot on the power play, but he has 7 power play assists only, with 4 goals. I think that's where the boost is going to have to come. He's going to have to get more power play assists. If he can, like, double that, and all of a sudden we're looking at a guy who can actually get 30 to 35 assists instead with potentially 15 goals, you know, that's the best case. That, I think, you are hitting number 2. That's what it's going to come down to, is the power play for sure. I don't really see any way around that. It's hard for a guy to make that drastic of a boost at even strength, especially when it's a defenseman who is aggressive in his own right, but he also has to, you know, pick his spots and let Yossi do his thing. Like, I don't see them splitting them up. Maybe there's a chance that they do trade Ekholm for a big forward in the offseason, and then, you know, they're going to get even more minutes. So maybe in that case, I think he's more of like a top end number 3 with potential to be that bottom end number 2 guy. But again, if you're loaded up on assists, I think he's a great compliment.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Right.
All right, so I guess to finish out that promo I did right at the top of the show, to get your $20 from SeatGeek, you go to the SeatGeek app, you download it on your phone. You go to the settings tab and go to add promo code. You add the promo code RAZNHL, RAZZNHL, no spaces, all caps. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after your first ticket purchase. It's not a $20 voucher. It's not a $20 coupon. It's just straight up $20 they send you. So just enter the promo code RAZNHL and SeatGeek and buy with, again, 100% confidence. We both use it. We both love
it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay, one last question. Next year, who should go number 1 overall? Yeah. We talked about it a little bit. I think it's a 2-horse race. It's Crosby and McDavid. It comes down to which one you prefer.
Right.
I prefer Crosby.
I would too.
I'm a huge Connor McJesus fan. I don't want anyone to think that I don't like Connor McJesus. I think Crosby, there's something to be said. We talked about it a little bit, where RNH is being used defensively and Dreisaitl is going to be playing on Crosby on McDavid's line, which is going to help McDavid. I think with Crosby, having Malkin be the second line center makes it very difficult for other teams to play their shutdown pair against just Crosby.
For sure.
And I think with that amount of depth up front, it makes Crosby more dangerous. And I think on the power play, you can just forget about it. Crosby and Malkin just by themselves, and that's not including Letang, that's not including Kessel, that's not including Sheary or Schultz or literally any number of players on Pittsburgh that can put the puck in the net. I think Crosby is going to be insane next year. He's been crazy good this year, and he missed time.
Yeah, I mean, right now he's not far off like a 50 plus 50 pace. If he played every game, he's not going to. But I would lean that way too, mostly because of the shot volume. I mean, he's pushing four a game, and I do expect McDavid to take a jump there. It's only natural for players to do that, but I'm not sure it's going to be enough to compensate. The other thing is, you know, Crosby only has 24 penalty minutes, but before this year, he had three straight years in the 40s. I think he's going to get back there. He's also been a plus player for over 10 straight years, so it's nice to have that in the bank. You're getting slightly more goals, and yes, McDavid does have more assists this year, but I could see that even evening out. I don't expect Crosby to push 50 again next year. I suppose it's possible, but mid-30s to pushing 40 goals with 60-plus assists, again, with crushing every category. Again, it wouldn't shock me one bit if McDavid just takes a huge jump next year, which is crazy to even think about him taking a huge jump. But I would lean towards Crosby. I do think he's safer, you know, despite, you know, the injury. I don't even want to say injury risk because he's missed six games this year, yeah, but he hasn't really missed significant time in over 5 years now. So I would lean towards Crosby too, then put McDavid. Then I think Kane has played his way into the same tier as Ovechkin and Malkin, depending how you want to, you know, rank those guys. I could actually see a compelling case for Kane over Ovechkin, only because Ovechkin's shot rate has gone from like 5 a game to 4 a game. So these other guys are much closer to him now, and the assists are just so far behind that I wouldn't mind dropping Ovechkin to that like 5th spot. But that, again, that's nitpicking. That's something, you know, we're gonna have the off season to think about. But I think, you know, that's our top five. I don't really see much change to it either. I mean, you know, Jamie Benn hits all the categories. It's nice. Burns. I think even Marchand and Kucherov have to play their way into this next tier. You know, yes. But I think those five are kind of cut and dry at this point.
I agree. I think there's another tier with the Marchand, the Kucherov, the Burns.
Yeah.
And then I think the next – and then I'd even include Carlson in there just because Carlson's just been so good for Ottawa. And you know what you're getting out of it. And pretty much it's you don't win your league with your first pick, but you can lose your league with your
first
pick.
He's definitely so high. His floor is just so damn high that he's definitely just going to be around the wheel to me. I don't know if he'll be in, like, the top 10, but – He'll be at least in like the 11 to 14 range.
I think the most intriguing category for me, the most intriguing clumping for me, is the Austin Matthews, Patrick Laine, Jack Eichel,
Tarasenko,
Pavelski. I think that grouping to me is where
that's the really interesting spot. Like,
that's the one where we could spend a decent amount of time analyzing that in the off season, because you look at, I mean, USA Today had an article about how Jack Eichel has become the NHL's most productive player since February 1st or whenever the hell he started to like get on his run. I mean, he's got 49. He's at almost a point per game. He's at 49 points in 51 games, which we said when talking about Johnny Gaudreau, you need to have, if you're taking a player in the first two rounds or a forward, they have to be at a point per game. Otherwise, you're not getting the value.
Well, again, it depends. Like Eichel or Matthews, you know, shoot four shots a game. It kind of like, it's how Sagan is. Like, Sagan's been slightly down this year, mostly because of the plus minus. But when you're pushing four shots a game, that, you know, you're getting 100 shots more than Goudreau or Panarin. You know, obviously, that's why these guys are ranked slightly higher. And, but, you know, again, you said you don't want to lose your league in the first round. That's like a more reason to take Pavelski, because you know, it's going to be his fourth straight year, basically, of over 30 goals and pushing 40 assists with over three shots a game. It's as safe as it gets. Tarasenko's incredibly safe. I guess it sounds kind of crazy to think, but I think Line A out of all these guys is probably the biggest risk just because he's shooting such an absurd percentage. But I think he has the highest upside even because his shot is just so good that if his shot volume goes up, even if his shooting percentage drops a little bit, it'll cancel each other out. Again, I think those are the guys we're looking. It's going to be like the 10 to, say, 16 range of the draft where you're going to add in probably like Carlson and Holtby, maybe even like Price or another goalie. I think people might have the goalies higher, but that's the range I'm going to have them in. And that's the kind of thing where every draft could go different, honestly. You could end up drafting a bunch of leagues where you pick, you know, 10th through 12th, and you end up having the same guys on every team if you wanted to, because I think it's going to be a lot of personal preference at that point.
Yes, I think when I was doing the Crosby, McDavid, and then the 3 through 4, I had 4, but you can include Kane in there as well, 3 through 5. Yeah. I think those picks are all preference picks.
Yeah, they're all
for me, when you're in those categories, like if you're picking first, it's a preference, Crosby or McDavid, which one do you want? When you're picking third, it's a preference, Malkin, Ovechkin, Kane. Which one would you prefer? I think even in that next category with Kucherov, Marchand, it's a preference, which one do you
want? Right. What categories
do you
want to hit, kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. And that's when it all comes down to team composition and structure. And which categories are you looking to dominate? And which categories are you willing to concede? Okay, maybe I don't win this one. Maybe you say, you know what, penalty minutes? It's your crapshoot category anyways. I'll take a goon like Radko Gudas or something with my second to last pick just so I can stay competitive in that category and use him as my sixth defenseman that I drop and pick up every now and then when he plays. Like, it's something you could do that. And it comes down to team composition. Last thing, and it's, I don't think this is really fantasy hockey related, but it is hockey related, so we'll talk about it. The Hart Trophy race, could it be more wide open right now?
I don't see how. I mean, you can legitimately argue, God, how many guys could you argue? I mean, it's over 5, pushing 10.
Okay, are we including goalies in this discussion?
I think at this point you might have to include Bob, but he would be the only one. Like, Dubnyk's fallen off a bit. I still think he belongs in the Vezina discussion, but I don't see him as like a true MVP type. I think Bob has to, though. I guess Columbus has just been unreal. They're tied with Washington again now. If they end up leading the league in points, I think he's definitely in this conversation. Carlson, I think, has to be in it too. The way Ottawa's been coming on, I know they lost 4 games in a row here. Granted, some were in overtime, but to keep them in the playoff hunt all year is insane. Marchand's year has been absolutely incredible. Kucherov probably doesn't quite belong in this conversation just because of the missed time, but it's really not far off. Crosby and even Malkin both, I think, belong in this conversation. Burns. Kane, I think, is on the fringe of it. McDavid, absolutely. I think this next 2.5 weeks is going to decide it. I don't think – I don't see how anyone can definitively say who it is right now. There's no way. And it's great for the league to have this much uncertainty still at this point. Even in the NBA right now, everyone's been talking about Westbrook and Harden. But to me, and I think it's starting to pick up a little steam – LeBron and Kawhi also deserve to be in this conversation. It's a 4-horse race. I think in hockey, it's more like a 7 or 8-horse race, which is just insane. I don't think any of the trophies are really decided yet. Burns Carlson for Norris now is close. I still think Burns is going to win, but it has got a bit more interesting. Goaltending has got interesting because Dubnyk fell off to Holtby and Bob. I don't even know between Matthews and Line A how people are going to vote. I don't even know who the front runner for the Selke even is at this point. It's just a wide open race, and it's great to see. Even Coach of the Year, I mean, I would expect it maybe to be Torts, but what if I don't know. What if Ottawa ends up winning the division? Doesn't Guy Boucher got to get talked about? Obviously, Boudreau deserves a ton of credit. McClellan, if, you know, maybe Edmonton stays hot and they can actually catch San Jose. I doubt it, but who knows? Everything is wide open. It's a great time to be watching hockey, that's for sure.
Yeah, very wide open in all of those trophy races. McDavid does have a 2-point lead, though, for total points. I want to say that he's going to end up with the most points.
I would lean that way, too.
But, I mean, with the way Crosby's been playing,
right. Marchand's
been playing.
He does have an extra game. Crosby does, so that's going to make a difference, especially because I don't think they're going to rest him at all. Like, some teams like to rest their guy like the last game of the season, you know, just to give him a little extra rest before the playoffs. They're not going to be able to do that because of the playoff race to try to get home ice. So, yeah, I would lean towards McDavid just being up to 2 points, but it's like 50, yeah, he's not 51%, but basically he's a percentage or two above Crosby only. It's super close.
Yeah, I think Marchand, I mean, yeah, the way he's been playing lately,
even Kane's not out of it completely.
Nope.
So, yeah, it's a crazy race.
Or one more 4-point game from Backstrom, and then there you go. You got a real then you'd have a 4-horse race. Right.
It's pretty crazy. I can't remember a season. I don't want to say with as much parity, but with the top tier guys just like all together in a bunch, it's, you know, it's a nice thing to see, really. It's, you know, usually come this time of the year, you know, you're fretting over a couple teams' playoff position, but in a couple playoff spots, but that's really it. Like last year, Washington ran away with it. Florida ran away with their division. You know, Pittsburgh and the Rangers was basically locked in as the 2-3 matchup for, you know, the last 2 months of the season. Everyone knew it was going to happen. Or the last month or so, I should say, once Pittsburgh switched coaches, then they got on that run. But this year, nothing has really been decided. I mean, yes, we know some teams that are going to be in the playoffs, but no one has clinched anything. If anything, Chicago's probably the one team that looks locked in now to the one seed, which, you know, 3 weeks ago, Minnesota had it locked down, basically.
Yeah, I mean, when Chicago goes 8-2 in their last 10 and Minnesota goes 2-8, that's what leads to what looked like, I believe it was a 7-point swing or a 14-point swing in terms of, I mean, Minnesota was up by 7 points at one.
So we're looking at a 14-point swing in probably 3 to 4 weeks. It's insane what Chicago's done in Minnesota. You know, I guess they were probably due for a little rough patch. I just didn't expect it to be, you know, this bad.
Yeah, I'll say this about Chicago. Their game against Colorado, the offsides challenge or the review, I don't think I've ever seen a more potent argument for taking the offsides challenge and launching it to the fucking sun.
Yeah, that was,
and just burn it to hell. Then that was so blatantly offside, and there was absolutely, and it was like beyond evident. And there they are, just, nope. Like, yeah, no, it's a good goal. Like, no, if you're going to review offside, get it right at least. Like, if you're going
to
let that,
the easiest thing to review, and somehow, I mean, that wasn't even remotely close. That's just embarrassing for the ref.
They always say that good teams get the calls and bad teams don't. I understand that phrase and that saying. That's not what happened here. That's just one team getting fucking jobbed.
Yeah, that was,
and when people talk about how, oh, well, the league has it in for, or the league prefers a certain team, it's those types of instances, it's those types of reviews that give those people credence.
Right.
And
makes
give
the
those
look bad.
Those
and
views,
they already look bad
makes
enough.
The league look bad. It makes the conspiracy theorist people look like they have a point. And do I fully think that a lot of, that the league's like, in basketball, I think is one of the more obvious ones, and where I think that it's not really a conspiracy theory. I think it's just a fact. They always say star.
They
that's
the
a star
calls,
player
yeah.
call. Right. Well, a rule or like traveling or a foul is supposed to be objective. Is so it's not supposed to matter what jersey you have
Right.
on. It's not supposed to matter what number or name is on the back of your jersey. Like a call is a call. It doesn't matter
Right. We
who
usually
you
don't run into
are.
that in hockey. There's occasionally like the trip or retaliation slash that goes uncalled for those guys. I think the one thing we do see it in is when it comes to suspensions, when someone does cross the line, was the hit to a big time player more likely to get suspended? Or was it big time player
Yes.
itself? He's probably going to get less games than someone else who's not a big name. But in general, I think hockey is much better than the other sports when it comes to
I completely agree with that.
Let's run through Harry's Razors real quick.
We were talking about everything was just on a razor's edge with all these trophy races. So on that note, let's hear about Harry's
I mean,
Razors.
Harry's, it's just the best way to get a nice clean shave, cheaper than any other alternative. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. So we're talking about five German engineered blades, lubricating strip, flex hinge for a comfortable glide, trimmer blade for hard to reach places, and a weighted ergonomic handle. All this for $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. So Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their most popular trial set for free. It comes with a razor handle of your choice, a five-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. It's free when you sign up, and you just pay a small fee for shipping. That'll be in your house in 2 to 3 days. So to redeem your trial offer, just go to harrys.com/razNHL right now. That's harrys.com/razNHL to get your free care package. Let's take a look at Tuesday's games relatively quickly. A lot of these games are extremely lopsided, which is going to make for some interesting choices for a three-point challenge. Ton of options. Boston, Ottawa. Boston's a big favorite in the betting markets just because of the way Ottawa's playing, all the injuries they're dealing with. Boston's playing while Ottawa's not. Pittsburgh's a big favorite against Buffalo. Rangers are a big favorite against the Devils. Washington's a big favorite against Calgary, which is a little bit of a surprise, but Washington is such a powerhouse at home. Montreal's a massive favorite against Detroit. Tampa's a massive favorite against Arizona. Winnipeg, Philly is probably going to be the highest game of the day to me. That's kind of close. Florida, Carolina is actually kind of close just because of the way Carolina's are playing okay and Florida's not playing well at all. Chicago's a massive favorite. They're -300 against Vancouver. When you're doing a draft, you're looking for a safe goaltender within those 2 to 6 man leagues. I mean, Crawford, or I assume he's going to play, is just in such a great spot to get a win, which is the biggest thing. Blues, huge favorite against Colorado. Minnesota's actually a decent favorite against the Sharks, which I think is kind of interesting. Both teams are limping right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to come down to the Sharks just played last night.
Right, that is true.
I mean, when we look at teams that played last night that are playing again today,
Yeah,
for
Detroit is a
me,
huge dog. Sabres are
I
all huge
think,
dogs.
right, I think the one that you, I don't think you mentioned Tampa and
I'd
Arizona.
say, and they're huge favorites. I mean, it's a.
We talk about how Crawford is a safe goalie for draft. I think if it's Vasilevskiy in net for Tampa, I
I
love
don't even mind
Vasilevskiy.
Budaj, honestly, if he does play. I don't think he's going
Pretty much,
to,
it's
but.
whoever Tampa puts in net, I think is going to be a great
Yeah,
play
I mean.
for daily fantasy.
I
I think
agree. I mean,
they'll be
I
excellent.
think Price or Montoya is starting. If you want to go a little cheaper, I think Montoya is not even a bad option. Vasilevsky's likely, by the way. So again, yeah, he's one of the best guys. I think it's them three probably at the top, but you can make a compelling argument on a bunch of guys. First pick, Burns has been cold, but I still would lean that way, although Kucherov is really tempting, and so is obviously Crosby. But Kucherov's going against Arizona while he's on this heater. I wouldn't even mind taking him ahead of Crosby. Seems a little crazy, but he's definitely in that top tier. Marchand has to be too. There's just so many great options tonight that
Yeah.
this is one of those nights where I wouldn't mind taking a goalie higher. Granted, there are a few different options, but there are just so many different forwards. I mean, we haven't even talked about like Tarasenko, any of the Jets, or
We didn't even talk about Patrick Kane.
Oh yeah,
at home against Vancouver.
Probably the best one, honestly.
I mean, you look at it, and my 3-point entry might actually surprise you a little bit because, for one, he leads the league in shootout goals, and two, I know Florida hasn't been playing that great lately, but Barkov and Huberdeau have been
they've been fine.
Have been excellent for Cat Hockey, and I mean, I know we haven't done the list of the top 10 point getters, but I know Barkov's not in it. Like, I kind of like Barkov tonight.
I don't mind
considering
it.
you can't take Crosby.
Right. A lot of the guys aren't available.
Yeah.
Marchand, can't take Kucherov. Kane, Kucherov, Scheifele, Burns. None of them are playing. Backstrom, too. Yeah, Backstrom. Can't take him. And we're looking at McDavid, Crosby, Marchand, Kane, Backstrom, Malkin, Scheifele, Kucherov, Burns, and Sagan. Yeah, I don't mind. There's just so many good spots today. Like, your options are so wide open that you can justify going so many different ways. Again, if you're not familiar with Draft yet, you probably should be. Draft is a simple daily fantasy app where you can do snake drafts just like the ones you do at the beginning of your season-long leagues. They last for just one night and take only minutes to complete. On Draft, you can play for free or, better yet, play for money. Chance of winning money on Draft are almost three times better than your chances on other sites. So if you're playing fantasy for money and you don't want to spend hours a day doing it, you should absolutely be playing on Draft. So download Draft now by searching Draft in the App Store. It should be the first one that comes up. Be sure to enter the promo code RAZNHL, all caps, when you download. And you'll get a 100% bonus up to $600 when you deposit. So again, just search Draft in the App Store and be sure to enter the promo code RAZNHL, all caps. Yeah, man, there are so many different options. Are you going to go with Barkov, or are you going
to... I think we'll go with Barkov. Another interesting one would be Oshie. I think he's been playing really well lately with Backstrom. And, I mean, they both had 4-point nights the other night. I'm not sure how much I trust Calgary traveling there. I know their Calgary is 19-12-4 on the road. They've really stepped it up lately. Right. They're 9-1 in their last 10. But I just think Washington, they're 28-6-2 at home. It's really hard. It's really hard to sit there and say, and it's crazy because as good as Washington has 100 points, so does Columbus.
Right.
And they have the same regulation and overtime wins. So, Washington needs to win the game. They can't afford to be losing. If you look at the standings, the Metro 1, 2, and 3 are so hilariously good compared to the rest of the East.
Yeah, it's...
that you almost just start shaking your head.
The Rangers would be winning the Atlantic. It's just so absurd. Man, there are so many different guys you could really go with. I'm going to take Line A again. He's been cold, but I don't know. I have a feeling that this Winnipeg-Philly game is going to be a bloodbath. You could go with Wheeler, too. He's been playing better lately than Line A has. Wheeler's on a 3-game point streak. I had a feeling that game's going to be wide open. I don't trust the Philly guys right now. They've been shifting the lines around a decent amount. And I don't know. That's a team that's really frustrating me. I'm going to say Line A finally breaks out, has another big game, and gets 3 points.
All right, yeah, and I'm going with Barkov. I don't know. It's just this weird. I just have this feeling they'll be able to put up some goals on Carolina. That game could somehow be a little bit more open because I know defensively has not been good lately.
They've been leaving Reimer out to dry a decent amount. I've been watching some of their games. I'm with you. That is a sneaky potential of a 5-3 game. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. You guys should all be doing the 3-point contest. Just go to the Razzball hockey website and just in the comment section on this podcast post, just enter your 3-point contest. Just do it before the game start. I mean, you shouldn't, if you're going to pick Kane, you should probably know that before the 7 o'clock game start. It really shouldn't be that, or you can't pick Kane.
You can pick Evander Kane. If you play, get bold.
Yeah, you can pick Evander Kane. I probably wouldn't go that way, but you could. If you're going to pick someone from these later games, you should probably already know that beforehand, because this podcast will be up before then. So just enter it, just type it in, and we'll give you a shout out if you hit it. No one's hit it in a while,
though. No, I think I was the last one who hit it with Carlson, and that was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we've been a little bit cold. I still have a nice sizable lead over everybody.
Yeah, that's
but
for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm going to end up winning. I think mathematically I've already clinched it.
I would basically have to like run the table, I think.
And I would have to miss all of them. But I'm not going to, because I'm that confident in Barkov tonight. So, yeah, just enter your 3-point contest in the comment section on the post on the Razzball Hockey website. Just a shout-out to our sponsors, SeatGeek, Draft, and Harry's Razors. They let us do what we keep doing and helping you guys out with your fantasy hockey teams and your leagues. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Just give a nice, healthy 5-star review and hit the subscribe button on iTunes. And, yeah, that's about it
for us. Yeah, we'll be back in a couple days. And, you know, good luck in your playoff matchup.
Yeah, good luck, everybody. Take care.